your farm, and your future matter to us. Welcome to Dairy Stream, a podcast focusing on opportunities and challenges impacting the future of dairy. This podcast is brought to you by the Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, sister organizations fighting for sensible dairy policy in Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Joanna Guza.
In 2022, USDA announced the investment of $3.1 billion for 141 projects through the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities. Through this new opportunity, USDA will finance partnerships to support the production and marketing of climate smart commodities through a set of pilot projects lasting 1 to 5 years. With billions of dollars being invested in climate smart, are farmers participating, and how can a farm identify which on-farm project is the best fit? We will discuss that and more with Drew Kessler. He's the senior scientist at Houston Engineering. Drew leads the Houston Engineering's environmental service sector. He has been working at Houston Engineering for over 10 years, during which he's grown the company's connection to food and the dairy industry. Prior to joining Houston Engineering, Drew spent 10 years in academia focusing on environmental research. Well, in this first part, we're going to talk about some of those climate smart programs. And then after the break, we'll share more about resources for data collection. Well, Drew, to get our conversation started, from your perspective, how has the increased attention on-farm sustainability programs and the introduction of climate smart programs impacted the number of farms adapting new practices?
As we've started to get farms enrolled in projects that we're working on, one of the first things we're doing is looking at what the farm already has within their operation. And it's pretty phenomenal how much good work is already occurring on farms when it comes to conservation. Now, with that said, I do think with this increased attention, you're going to have farmers that are interested in learning kind of where they're at on climate smart. And as they see that, I do think there is going to be an increased interest in trying some new things. I do hope that, you know, as this moves forward, farms are able to find those opportunities that fit within their operation and really help them make progress not only towards their farm goals, but some of those climate smart goals that are being set at broader levels.
Our audience is primarily dairy, people that work in the dairy industry, but I mean, this says climate smart commodities. What group do you work with most? Is it dairy farmers or are there other commodities?
A lot of our work right now is focused with dairy farms. The efforts we're getting started on right now are largely in the Wisconsin area, but they are growing into some of the other surrounding states. One of the key partners we support is Farmers for Sustainable Food. And so they're leading a lot of efforts in Wisconsin and beyond now. And they're really kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to getting this stuff going in terms of what we're supporting in the dairy industry.
DBA and Edge work directly with Farmers for Sustainable Food, and we'll make sure that we drop a link in the description so you can learn more about their efforts. Now, Drew, what should farmers look for when choosing to engage with a sustainability program?
It's not everyone's favorite thing to do, but I would really encourage farmers to take a look at the fine print in terms of what they're enrolling in. And the reason I say that is there is tremendous variation in what different groups are looking for when it comes to getting sustainability programs on a farm. So I think a lot of farmers might be used to kind of the traditional government programs that they've seen for decades now. But as the private industry has started to show a lot more interest in this, there's become, you know, a lot of variation in exactly what the farm might be enrolling to do when they sign up for a sustainability program. And what I mean by that, some programs might still just pay for the practice. You know, you might get asked to adopt a cover crop, and you might get asked to do it for 3 years with an understood payment at the start of your program. Some programs, though, might really be focused more on the sustainability or the climate outcome. So you might get asked as part of the program to adopt some practices, but that might not be what you're getting incentivized for. It could be carbon in your soil. And depending upon those details, it can be a very different outcome from the farm in terms of what they're expected to deliver by enrolling in that program. Now, I will say there are what I think are some unique programs, and I'm really encouraged by, and this is kind of the work we're doing with Farmers for Sustainable Food. When we're starting to work with dairy farms, it's really not about incentivizing a specific practice. It's about gathering the information on the farm and understanding where they're at today when it comes to sustainability and climate smart. So the expectation is data sharing with our group in the farm. Of course, we keep the individual farmer's information private. We're very sensitive to that. But the incentive is to really give them a baseline understanding of where they're at on sustainability and climate, and empower them to then decide what fits best for their operation moving forward. When choosing a program, make sure you understand what you're signing up for. And if that contract gets a little long and you got someone on the legal line that you're working with, maybe even consider having them take a look at it, because I'm no lawyer by training, but I do know there's a lot of variation in the expectations when it comes to some of the sustainability programs that are out there.
Right. And in part two, we're going to talk about maybe some of those red flag items and get more in depth on what to be watching for. And one thing, Drew, that really stands out to me is, you know, farmers are the problem solvers. So you saying we're going to meet you where you are. You know, I think sometimes farms get worried about implementing, or you're going to tell them what to do, but they know their farm best. They know their fields, their animals. So when you guys are coming in there, you're not telling them what to do. You're almost listening and then proposing ideas, correct?
100%. And that is the work we do, and the work we do with our partners like Farmers for Sustainable Food. That's core to the model. I think traditionally, and I don't mean this in a negative way, it's just the way the programs are set up. A lot of programs sell practices to farmers, right? You want to get X number of cover crops done or tillage practices on fields. That is really not our approach in the way we're doing our work today, or what we plan to continue to do with the dairy industry. It's about really empowering the farms to lead. Like you said, they know their operations. They know what will and will not fit in their operation as they learn more about what the options are. So we really see our role as bringing the information to the forefront so they understand what the industry might see as the sustainability number for a farm, and then empowering them with the options that they might think about if they want to take additional steps. And I want to emphasize that word if, because a lot of the farms we work with, they already got a lot of good things going on. So by entering into a program like the one we work on, we do not presuppose that the farm's got 20 new things that have to happen. There might be some opportunities to make improvements, but again, that's empowering the farm with seeing where they're at and what those opportunities might look like.
So some of these projects can be from a year to 5 years. You know, what is that time commitment for farms to participate? And we know time is money. And I don't know, Drew, if you're able to equate this to ROI on the farm.
I'll kind of speak broadly about the range of things we see happening in the sustainability space, but then I'll speak specifically about the Climate Smart projects we're involved with. And then I'll finish on ROI. So broadly with these programs, it's across the board. Some might be a payment to do a practice for 1 year. Some, and I alluded to this earlier, might be making a pretty long-term commitment. You might have an upfront payment, but then be expected to maintain those benefits over, you know, a 10 plus year time span. So as you alluded to, there is a broad range. The work we're involved in right now is really asking farmers to stick with us for the duration of the Climate Smart program that we have a project to move forward with. And what that looks like is from the time you enroll until 2028. And there's going to be an annual period in which we're working with you to gather information and help you understand where your score is at for the year for Climate Smart. And then we hope that those farms that enroll with us will stick with us through the end of the project. I think in a lot of these programs, there's kind of two opportunities for ROI. There might be an upfront payment or some payment structure to take on actions like conservation practices. But I think other programs are allowing farms to kind of figure that out and explore what the best return on investment is for their operation. We're very much on that. Let's help the farms move forward and figure out what the best business opportunities are for their operation. So the way we're exploring that right now with dairy farms in Wisconsin, with Farmers for Sustainable Food, is they get their information on where they're at from a Climate Smart perspective. And then we're encouraging them to work within their supply chain or with their processor or who they're selling either crops or milk to explore what that means from a business opportunity on their farm. Because as we said earlier in the discussion, you know, the farmers know their operation best. So that is really what we're hoping to do, is to be able to get the information to the farm and allow them to make the best decisions for ROI with that information once they have it.
Well, Drew, I know you're probably living in this present moment of like all the work that you guys are doing with these farms, working on the, you know, you got that the grant money through, you know, Climate Smart, but you said kind of that deadline of 2028. What happens after that? So if a farm's involved in the pilot program, I feel like that might be above your pay grade, that question. But what's next after 2028?
I don't have a crystal ball, right, of where kind of industry and society is going to go with these climate smart type reporting outcomes. But from the signals we're seeing and the work that we're doing, I don't see the interest in this type of information going away. So what I see beyond the initial climate smart projects is ongoing interest in what, you know, climate impacts farming is having and how that translates to either food on the shelf, fuel on the car, or fiber on your clothes. I think that the interest and the increased activity around climate smart with what USDA has done with these investments is kind of the start of a long journey. And I think over time, what we'll see is this just becoming part of what farms do in terms of the information they generate and kind of keep up to date on a year-to-year basis.
Two more questions as we wrap up this first part of Dairy Stream. Can you share an example of a farm you've worked with and some of those outcomes that have happened from their Climate Smart initiatives?
Well, we're just in the process of ramping up right now. I know Farmers for Sustainable Food is seeing a lot of interest from farms. The first projects have been launched, and within those projects, farms are starting to enroll. We're really excited about the amount of interest in these projects and the program coming through. What I'd say for kind of initial results, because we're so early in the process, we haven't walked it all the way forward yet, but we are already seeing farmers starting to connect the dots with where, as they get this information, you know, what are some of the people they work with that they want to talk to about it? You know, so I got my carbon number and I already know that I got, you know, someone I might want to sell milk to that's going to be interested in this and I can have a conversation. And on the flip side of that, we're already starting to see some processors in the dairy space coming to the table and say, hey, we really want to get involved in this too. It's going to be important for us to work with our farms and understand where all this information is sitting. So still a little early in the process because we just launched and started enrolling farms here in the last 3 months, but very excited about some of the early indications we're getting.
It's very exciting. And I think these farms are already doing such a great job that we do have such a great message to be sharing. And I love that there's that partnership with the processor because they're the one putting that product out in front of our consumers, and our consumers want a sustainably produced product. So it's kind of great that we have these programs in place so that we're showcasing some of the great things that our farmers are doing. Last question for you, Drew, as we wrap up the first part of Dairy Stream, what benefits do you see farmers gaining with the use of data collection and reporting?
Backing up to a little bit earlier in the discussion, I alluded to this guess that this is going to be an ongoing information need for farms. To me, I think in the long run, that's going to be one of their greatest benefits is being on the front foot and understanding where they're at in this climate space and being early in the process of being able to decide what that means for their farm and where they want to go with that information. So that to me is probably one of the biggest opportunities for farms is being early in, seeing where they're at when it comes to climate smart, and being able to now into the future for their operation, continue to be on the front foot for where they go with that information.
Right. We're being the leaders, the innovators. We're not being told what to do. I know there's been times where farmers feel that the consumers or the brands are telling them how they should be farming. But when we're doing these projects, we're spearheading them. We're being the leader. And then it's not someone saying, oh, you should be planting cover crops. Because right now we're educating the consumer about what cover crops are and why farms are doing it. So thank you for sharing more about the Climate Smart programs. We've been talking with Drew Kessler. He's the senior scientist at Houston Engineering. So next, we will cover resources for data collection analysis. But first, let's hear from our Dairy Stream sponsor.
The Nature Conservancy is a global conservation organization dedicated to conserving the lands and waters on which all life depends. Guided by science, TNC helps farmers improve soil health and protect clean water while sustaining profitability. The organization is also a partner in the Dairy Feed in Focus program, an industry-led effort designed to help dairy farmers adopt climate-smart agriculture practices. To learn more, visit nature.org/Wisconsin.
Dairy Stream is brought to you by the Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. In the second part, we will talk about resources for data collection and analysis. We're talking with Drew Kessler. He's the senior scientist at Houston Engineering. Well, Drew, what tools do you recommend farmers use to measure their outcomes, and what platforms are available?
That's a really great question, especially today with all the interest in this space. It's a bit of a messy one because the short answer is there is a lot of tools and platforms out there. What I would suggest to farmers, and this is in dairy farmers, this is kind of our position and how we enter into this space. We're not picking champions. What we do is we want to make sure that the tool is credible and has some backing, and will give you a number that you can at least trust as indicative of what's happening on your farm. And I want to unpack that for just a minute, this idea of a number that you can trust is indicative on your farm. What I'll tell farmers is if you get an assessment done from more than one platform, do not expect that you're going to get the same number from the different tools or platforms. They're all going to be a little different because each one runs just a little different. They might emphasize, you know, something more on the crop side of your farm or the dairy side of your farm. So you can get some variations in what you get back. Now, I'm not saying that to you know, make people concerned about getting involved in these assessments. I'm saying it just so you know, farmers, if they're listening, have a firm expectation of what they're going to get out of the process, or a good understanding of what they're going to get out of the process. What we generally use in our assessment procedures are tools that have been developed by USDA or other long-standing tools that are used commonly throughout the supply chain. So we try to go to those things that have been around for a while and that we know when we're done aren't going to change 2 months later. Now, one of the things I'd encourage farmers to think about, and this might be a conversation they're not used to having, is either start with something that doesn't commit you into that tool for the long run. And that's what our approach is with Farmers for Sustainable Food. When farmers enroll with this program, they get the information, but then they can on-ramp into whatever direction works best for their operation. So they're not fixed into our assessment approach forever. We're trying to empower them with the data so they can keep moving. But the conversation I encourage farmers to think about as they're considering different platforms, or maybe they've even had some people on the farm offering different platforms or tools, is talk a little bit with the people that you're already working with. Ask if they've already kind of committed to a platform or have any expectations on how some of these tools will be used for the milk or for the processor or for the cheese, so that you start with the right approach. So that if, let's say, you're a dairy and you're selling milk to a processor, that processor's kind of already committed to approach, it'd be better to just go with that approach, in my opinion, than try something different and have to come back and redo the tool later on. The conversation I'm suggesting that farmers might not be used to is maybe ask a little bit from people you're already working with if they have anything in mind.
Yeah, maybe that starts with calling your field rep and talking with your field rep about what their processor might be utilizing. Are you able to name drop any tools or items that you have utilized?
I can say what our recommended approach is on the projects that we're doing. So the systems that we're using, at least as a recommendation, are Comet Planner, Comet Energy, and DNDC. Those are the tools that we use when we do our assessments. And those are pretty well accepted in the industry at this point. And the process we take when we launch a project is we bring this recommendation forward. We then inform the group of farmers who are launching the project what some of the other options are, and we allow them to adapt to different assessments if need be. Some of the other ones that we hear about that I think quite a few farms are using are the Cool Farm tool. That's one that was developed in Europe and is being used in a fair amount of dairies across the nation, is my understanding. The dairy industry is also going to be releasing a new FarmES 3.0. We're anticipating the summer. It's not released yet, right? So that date could move a little bit. But that Farm ES assessment protocol with their new version, we're hoping is something that for the dairy industry at least could get a lot more commonality in the tools that the dairy industry might want to use, because we know that at a national level, there's been a lot of work done over the last several years in preparing to release this new version of Farm ES. So we're optimistic that, you know, in the next year or two, we might be able to adapt to this new tool and just get a lot of the dairy industry all operating on the same space.
You know, we want farms to go their own method and do their own way, but we want to make sure that our data is lining up and that we don't have someone that has numbers that are way up here and the other ones down here, but it's because of the different platforms or the way they analyzed it. And I know with math, it needs to be black and white, but it depends on the platform that they might be using. So with the technology used and data collection, it's really sophisticated. A farm might be overwhelmed by what to focus on or possibly frustrated with something that's really small. What advice do you have to get organized with the amount of data that they're going to be receiving and how to analyze it?
First, I'll kind of just talk about what our approach is to this, and then I'll give some examples of, you know, what you might think about if you're considering enrolling in a program. For farms or dairies that get involved with the projects we're working on with Farmers for Sustainable Food, during the process of considering enrolling, they're actually going to get a packet of information that, you know, is pretty transparent in the type of information we're going to ask for if they decide to enroll. There might be some questions in there you're not used to thinking about. I think a lot of it is going to be things that you probably are pretty familiar with on your farm, like top types of crop rotations. With the USDA program, we do need to get access to, you know, some of the files on where your fields are at, because that's part of reporting. But that can be a pretty smooth process with a little bit of paperwork. We'll ask about, you know, your feed rations, your manure storage, your manure application, some of the things that, you know, you might not be as familiar with that you'll need to think about is some of your fuel usage and some other types of information connected to how energy moves on your farm. So those are some pots of information that you'd have to think about. Now, as we've onboarded the first several farms, what we've kind of discovered is, and I think this is a process that works very well, and if I was a farmer, this is kind of what I'd want if I was getting into a program. We, as a collective group, meaning Houston Engineering and Farmers for Sustainable Food, pair the farm with a specialist who's familiar with collecting this data. And that specialist, after the farmer gets a heads up on what the data is going to be, actually sits down and helps get the data collected. That's either done in person or over the phone, whatever the farm's most comfortable with. So you got a helper there for collecting the data. And what we've found is it's probably about a 2 to 4 hour commitment, probably. Once you get a preview of the information, collect some of it, you're probably spending about 2 to 4 hours with that collection specialist getting everything gathered together so that we're ready to move forward with the assessment on the farm.
And then does that specialist kind of work with you, you know, if this project's for year over year, do you kind of have that same person or someone that's a part of those organization that's helping you analyze the data?
Yes. Our plan is to have a consistent face working with that farmer for collecting the data. And then after we collect it too, bringing the results back to the farm and having a conversation about what the data is, what it means, and maybe what some of the opportunities are.
Before we get into any watchouts for farmers joining new programs, Drew, we've had a previous episode. We had two farmers talking about how they're using artificial intelligence on their farm. And one of the concerns that the farmer shared was, you know, we're gathering all this data and he's, you know, working so hard to be an innovator and kind of being vulnerable with, you know, sharing or showcasing some of his, you know, data with his, let's say, his processor. Well, he said, let's say that Joe down the road doesn't do any of this. So he's not knowing if anything's good or bad. But then now that farm, he said, I worry my farm could be labeled one day, or I have one bad year and I don't want to be dropped from a processor. I mean, I'm talking very extreme cases. But he said, when you be vulnerable and do these programs, could you be penalized if you have a bad year? And I think that's a really valid concern, because then Joe down the road didn't do anything, but he's not going to get penalized because he's never, you know, had that work or had that data collected. And as I kind of feel that could be the same in this situation, as farmers are implementing these conservation practices And what if it is a bad year? Or what if their crop gets hit by something that, you know, on the west side of the state, that didn't happen? Can you maybe speak to that vulnerability of, you know, sharing your data and the confidentiality? But are you seeing any of those extreme cases that a farm could be penalized for sharing their data?
I completely understand that comment. I agree. It's a very valid concern. I think anytime if you're kind of first out with something, right, or you're a leader in doing something, you are being vulnerable. There's no other way to say it. That's the best word for it. We haven't yet in any of the work we have done see someone be penalized. I think it is a valid concern, though, and it's something that farmers need to think about and be aware of when they make the decisions on what's best for their operation. With the farms that we've brought in so far, though, we really haven't seen anyone in a space where they've had results that I would say would be concerning. And I'll give an example of that. We just did an assessment on a farm, and what we're doing right now, even though a lot of these programs are forward-looking, they only give you kind of credit for the new stuff you're doing. Our assessment procedures are to go from 2018 to 2023 for the first year. The reason being, we want to give credit to the work farms have already done. You might not be able to go and get a carbon credit or, you know, sell it to anyone, but at a minimum, we think it's really important because there is a lot of people doing good work already to put a number to that. Well, we went through this procedure, and when it came back, we actually had to pause because that farmer had so much conservation on all their fields predating 2018 that we had to pause in what we were doing to say, wait, 2018 to 2023 on this farm is not good enough, because on every field they gave us, they had multiple conservation practices going before 2018. So we had to take a step back and say, okay, well, on this farm, we can't just do a number from 2018 to 2023. We got to tell a bigger picture story of what's going on here because they're doing a lot of great work. My hope that as farmers engage, that's going to be more of the story that comes out of this. It is uncertain whether, you know, in the long run, I think that farmer's concern is very valid. So one of the things I'd encourage, though, backing up the concern of could you get penalized if the number isn't good, or you get a horrible year weather-wise, your crops get wiped out, and now all of a sudden you got all the inputs invested with no output, so your number doesn't look very good, right? My hope is, and we do see this a little bit, that when people look at numbers, they're not going to make judgments year to year, but they're going to look at longer-term performance of the farm over multiple years. And I think that's why we're hoping farms, when they sign up, will be with us for multiple years, because 1 year on a farm, as everyone in the farming industry knows, it's 1 year on a farm. There's a lot of variation. I want to touch real quickly on the data security, because that's something that's very important to us. So it is very transparent when farmers enroll in the work that we're doing as to what's going to be done with the data as it comes in and where it could flow through. So that is, at the time of enrollment, within the projects we're doing, farmers know what's going to happen with their data, and they get to make the decision as to whether or not they're comfortable with that at the time.
And I think this sells the points of make sure you're working with a trusted source, trusted professionals, people that want to see you succeed, like Houston Engineering, Farmers for Sustainable Food. We know kind of who you're working with, so make sure you're aligning yourself. Now, this kind of leads into that next question, Drew. Any watchouts for farmers with joining new programs or new groups?
My biggest watch out is, and I mentioned this a little bit in the first part of our discussion here before the break, make sure you see the fine print in what you're enrolling in. There are examples, and I'm not going to call out specifics, but there's examples where you maybe get paid once or twice in the first 3 years, but you're committed to having that carbon in your soil for 10 years, right? You might get the expectations on the farm for the program you enroll in. That's the biggest thing to watch out for. What are you getting paid for, and what are you committed to maintaining for that payment? And I mentioned this earlier, there's other examples where you might just get paid to do a practice for 1 year, and if that practice doesn't work, you might get to move on after that year. So, and I'm not suggesting what fits best for any one operation, but that's the biggest thing I'd watch for is what are the details of what are you getting paid for, and what are you expected to maintain for that payment? And then finally, the third detail in there would be, if you don't maintain it, are you on the hook in the long run?
really great questions to be asking ourselves and being mindful of. And maybe it's looping in your process or other people within the supply chain to make sure that it is aligning and the best fit for your business. Two more questions as we wrap up this episode of Dairy Stream. What unique ways are you seeing farmers share this information with their communities?
Really, some of the leaders that I see in this space, and we work across multiple states in the U.S. with some of the assessment work we do, is the farmer-led groups in Wisconsin. It is really impressive what those groups are doing in terms of how they organize, how they pull together information, not even just this high-level climate stuff, but things that are important to the local resources in their community. And as they do that, the groups that we've been working with, like Peninsula Pride Farmers and the Lafayette Ag Stewardship Alliance, are very much trying to get that information into the hands of community members in their area. Things like posting a road sign on the edge of a field and putting their name and information on there for contact in case anyone's driving around and seeing something happen on that field that they don't really understand. To me, I'm really encouraged when I see agriculture willing to show the leadership to do those types of things, because I really do think that most farm acres that we see, at least in the work we do, are doing some really great work and have a good story to tell.
Right. And farmers are the most trusted voice when it comes to looking at different occupations. So it's important that they are sharing that message with their community members. Last question for you, Drew. What are your thoughts on the future of climate smart and on-farm sustainability programs?
It's hard to say, right? Multiple years down the road. But I really do think, particularly around how a farm is impacting the climate, that it's not going away anytime soon. What I hope the future is it becomes less uncertain on how farms should participate. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. As that uncertainty goes away, that there is better opportunities for the farms to realize a benefit for why they're engaging in these programs. That is definitely one of the things we're trying to work on through this Climate Smart opportunity, is encouraging farms to go and explore the marketing opportunities that come from understanding what their climate number is. And I do hope that that is the future for the farming community.
Opportunities, opportunities, opportunities. I think we heard that word multiple times in this episode, and we'll make sure that we drop the link with Farmers for Sustainable Food and Houston Engineering and their resources that they're providing farms through this Climate Smart program. So if your farm is interested in participating, you can check out the link in this description. I want to make sure that I thank our guest, Drew Kessler, senior scientist at Houston Engineering, for sharing your experiences and expertise with us today. And I want to make sure I thank you for tuning in to learn more and hopefully maybe take your farm to the next conservation level and make it a part of your future business model. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm your host, Joanna Guza, for Dairy Stream. The Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative would like to thank you for listening to Dairy Stream. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and rate Dairy Stream. We value your feedback, and if there's something you'd like to hear, email us at podcast@dairyforward.com.